Hello everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. My name is Kevin Smith, and I have a few things to share with you. Individuals, the universe is over, the vast majority, who are self-decided in their unconscious want to continually reincarnate into endless future embodiments, tend to establish cozy little spots in the creational matrix as best as they are able. This makes sense, as everything is survival, and it is the natural impediment of the individual to seek to survive as best as is possible with the circumstances that seem to be presented. What individuals do not realize is how they are the decider of everything in their endless cycles of lifetimes. The decider, in fact, to continually have endless lifetimes. The reason why they are even in creation becomes lost in the mists of memory. Their causal body vehicles, the Akashic files there, and due to a chosen, restricted awareness, makes direct access to them difficult, if not impossible. It's all about awareness, and it is awareness that allows access. Access throughout the areas and levels of creation and of our personally created selves that reside within it. These creational levels are still there, even if we do not realize or acknowledge or even believe this to be so. Generally, most people are locked into such a limited self-consideration, they generally resign themselves to the physical and astral level only. They will only consider what they can decode of the physical life level through the senses of their physical vehicle. We can refer to these people as literal, and yet there are five other levels of creation, and five other levels of their personally created self. And again, most people will, in actuality, not only consider their creational operating vehicle to be who they are, but that the physical, rock-bottom level aspect of their created self is who and all they are. They will be unaware of the other five aspects of their personal self, even though they are accessing the faculties of each body vehicle all the time, some faculties more than others. Generally, being physical astral, in that consideration rarely goes beyond the literal level senses, and the predominantly utilized aspect of the personal self, the vehicle most used, is the astral. The astral being the sensation body, the emotional self. And most individuals will set themselves up to endlessly seek and pursue anything and everything that stimulates the emotional vehicle, unceasing in their thrill-seeking, relentless in the pursuit of anything that activates emotion, preferably of a pleasure principle persuasion. Even though the emotional astral vehicle is the predominantly overutilized aspect of the created self, individuals will still be unaware even of this part of themselves. As the created consciousness of humanity collectively has constructed itself as it has, in more recent times, the consideration of the astral is far more widely acknowledged. It was very much embraced and realized by indigenous peoples of the past as a valuable source of information and insight. For these ancient peoples understood the significance of sleep and the dream worlds. They appreciated how when the physical level vehicle is placed aside for sleep, that a far greater expression of freedom was available, as the individual was at a greater liberty to explore places and realms beyond the limited and restricted spot they had found themselves in this lifetime around. In more recent times, the knowledge of the astral is having a revival. Astral travelling, the projecting of the body vehicle, is becoming more widely embraced and practiced. The want to astral project, to out-of-body travel, would still be categorized as a want to seek thrills, for this is generally the motivation of the personal self. It will do nothing unless there is a sensation stimulating reason for it, or unless it has no choice. But at least these individuals will have awareness of the astral level and the vehicle they are projecting, even if they don't fully grasp what they are doing or where they are finding themselves. For the vast majority then, the physical and astral levels will be all they are aware of, and most will think in their minds that the astral seems to be the place everyone goes to when they transition, when they die. Then they seemingly must return here again to the physical. For most, this will indeed be the case. On transition, the vast majority will find themselves on the astral, with little understanding of where they are or what to do next. Consequently, their lack of awareness, their inability to recognize levels beyond the astral, will ensure they go no further than this position. After a time in the astral, they will drift back and return to the physical life level. Their unawareness will make this so, because individuals who consider nothing beyond their created selves will be very much unconscious of the process that keeps them trapped in these endless reincarnational cycles. A cause and effect mechanic operates in the creational simulator, based on the simple yet so misunderstood principle that whatever you create, whatever you cause, will have a corresponding and reflective effect that must be experienced. The five aspects to the created personal vehicle are designed to generate causes, to generate creations, or what we might term ideas. The mental, emotional, and imaginative aspects of the created self formulate decided upon ideas, and the experience then follows. Ideas that can be of our own making, or those created and presented by others. Ideas we then agree with, and regardless of their source, we then are locked into scenes and situations reflecting the nature and design parameters of whatever the idea may have been. Individually and collectively, then, our scenes keep rolling out, our experiences unceasing, as we constantly are agreeing with and deciding upon something. As our minds and emotions constantly are in operation, unless we get a little control, and we constantly are pursuing, chasing, or seeking something, generally emotionally based. Each lifetime, individuals will establish a situation for themselves where they can pursue once again wants, goals, and desires to satiate the emotional, astral aspect of their personal selves. Most people then become very routined, very habitual in the design of their experiences, their lifetimes following very similar themes. Just the particulars of their environment will have changed. Social consciousness and the world the individual has agreed and projected into will be in constant flux. The main thrust of the created individual consciousness, that which it is in constant agreement with, the ideas and creations it clings to, the emotional attachments that remain consistent, these will be established and rigid creational causes that can remain locked in place for hundreds, if not thousands, of lifetimes. The causes we set in motion each lifetime may be more varied according to circumstances and be more temporary. One would surmise then that the moment we transition, the moment we are ceasing to forge causes through our created self, then the corresponding effects must surely cease, and experiences conclude, and perhaps then we would not be resigned to have to walk into more scenes as the physical level stage has been left behind. This would perhaps be so, but for the routined and habitual created ideas, the agreements and attachments that we have locked in place, the created ideas that are not so fleeting and temporary, but those etched in stone, and that make up the foundations of our created consciousness and created lifetimes, even though we are no longer generating causes on the physical level any longer. Now we have transitioned, these old agreements are maintained, for many of them are so habitual, they are operating of their own accord. Subconscious and long forgotten agreements, perhaps established millions of lifetimes ago, but still present and still operating, still representing causes that affect experience. A little like a religious agreement one may make in a lifetime, where they grovelled effectively before the reptilian god Kalorm, although they would be unaware of how this character is the god that they and all religions in fact worship. At the time, a seemingly beneficial agreement, the notion that to worship an all-powerful god would prove fruitful for that individual's life and ensure a delightful positioning in some heaven or whatever. An idea, of course, that is in fact the surrendering of one's power to another, that anything beyond oneself is required to provide whatever it is the individual seeks, an agreement to the authority of another, which is an agreement to being controlled, a cause that must be followed by the corresponding effect, an experience of control. And with the understanding that we are the creator of our experience, and indeed can create anything in the simulator we choose, would make the praying and grovelling to another rather nonsensical, for yes, praying is just another form, effectively, of begging. Perhaps in lifetimes beyond where such an agreement was made, an individual may choose differently. But with every new lifetime comes the inability to recall the last, and thus any agreements to ideas made prior to the current lifetime are forgotten. as with the five levels of creation, just because we are not aware of them doesn't mean they are not there. And it is so with long-forgotten agreements. Agreements that, unless acknowledged and consciously released, will remain and be a foundational part of our created consciousness that sets the general stage for lifetimes that are to come. These old agreements, most of which, if religious-based or based on systems of control, which everything practically is in the controlled matrix we reside in, will ensure the restriction, limitation, and control that will be the overwhelming theme and foundation of all lifetimes to come. All agreements of control lead back to the door of the Kalam God, the three-headed reptilian overlord of the mental life level, or life level number 4. Agreements very much perpetuated, not only through the inability to recall the agreements once made, and the ignorance of the cause and effect nature of the simulator, but through the aspects of the Kalam God himself. The three heads representing benevolence, malevolence, and influence. Agreement through fear and intimidation, or through reward and generosity. These means of enforcing agreement brought to bear according to the circumstances and requirements. A thunderbolt may work as effectively as a chest of gold, depending on what is required to perpetuate agreement. By agreeing to the control of an individual over you, you agree that such individual has power over you also, agreeing in fact to the potentiality of said individual being able to demonstrate this power in whatever form is required. In essence, then, the God-fearing or loving religious followers have agreed to the Kalam being able to do whatever he wants to them, and so they have placed themselves in a position where they will and can experience his wrath or his mercy. Nothing can feature in our experience unless we agree to it. Neither a thunderbolt or a bag of Kalam gold. And again, the agreements to the control over us and the potentiality of being the recipient of whatever the Kalam decrees has been established in humanity from the first day the species became so, the day when the Orion reptilians, seeking food, slaves, and gold, would happen upon the earth and find a fairly intelligent species of monkey. not intelligent enough, it would seem, to mine the gold and work the mining equipment. But a little genetic tinkering, a little infusion of reptilian DNA with the monkey DNA, and a far more capable slave was created, day one of the humans. The religious idea created by the Kalam god, and through physical astral dwelling reptilian Orion minions, would this idea be presented to the humans. Very easy to impress these primitive humans with technology, to convince them that reptilians were godly, and to establish religion based on the worship of these reptilian gods, and ultimately the Kalam god. So a religious idea that has its bases in control, stemming from the very origins of the human race. An agreement, then, locked into the created consciousness of the human species that remains to this very day. Despite interest in religion being perhaps less widespread and consciously practiced than in any other time in human history, although with a decline in religion, other systems would be established, politics and science, etc., that, as it is with religion, represent ideas of control, seemingly beneficial on the surface, but as the reflective overall experience must surely suggest, overall agreement to these systems must be overall agreement to control, as is demonstrated with the overall experience of humanity. So these agreements are reinforced through various malevolent and benevolent means, made possible by the agreement that such methods of intimidation and reward can be brought to bear, and thus they potentially can be. And if this wasn't enough, up rears the third head, the influence. The aspect of the Kalam that he not only doesn't quite understand, but that controls him just as readily as it does every individual in creation. For our agreements, our attachments, that which make up our created consciousness, are maintained through the influence, a constant encouragement to pursue and maintain these agreements, and a psychological sensation of unease should we consider retracting and abandoning these more rigid, creationally agreed to ideas. We can see then that transitioning does not guarantee an escape from the creational matrix, as these agreements and attachments forged throughout our endless lifetimes remain. The ideas that are maintained are those that continually maintain the corresponding experiences. And if we do transition, then these experiences are still waiting for us as we project them into future lifetimes also. This is the nature of the cause and effect simulator. Whatever we cause, whatever we agree with and decide, we must experience the effect of. And that which we haven't experienced yet in this lifetime, as some things take longer to effect than others in the density of the physical life level, we must then experience in future lifetimes. This applies to that which are constant agreements, those rigid and set-in-stone agreements that we are unconscious of and have long perhaps forgotten. Also, with our agreements come emotional attachments, an interesting additional mechanism that stems from the astral emotional level and cements further these creational binding and future lifetime ensuring idea agreements, as our agreements have an emotional component regardless of the emotion. It is emotion that binds and enhances ideas agreed to and decisions we make. Emotion is the aspect of the sensation body, the astral body, and corresponding astral level. And so every time we make an agreement to an idea, we will be tapline to that very idea. We are bound to it. The taplines would be invisible to the senses of the physical vehicle, but on the levels beyond the physical, on the real side, we would perceive these as snake-like tendrils that lock into the back of the individual. Everyone will have taplines, as everyone is agreeing and creating something. If you were not agreeing with anything or creating anything, you wouldn't be in creation, as this is its design and purpose. And if we reach a point where we no longer need to create, we must have outgrown creation's usefulness. As the generator of experiences and viewpoints by which to recognize the true reality. Effectively then, continually creating is the individual deciding the want to remain in creation. For if you continually create, then you continually experience the effects of what you decide. If you have the opportunity to supersede creation altogether, but the personal self wants to create something or maintain an emotional attachment, as these are the hardest to let go of, this is tantamount to deciding to remain in creation. As to leave it, we must cease all wants, attachments, and agreements. Most people are, of course, unconscious creators, unaware of how they mire themselves in the simulator through their self-decided convictions, considerations, and agreements. For those seeking to extricate themselves from the simulator and into the true reality of the All Is Beyond, they must recognize how to position themselves there. Part of this process involves earning the awareness by which to see more and more that allows subtle comparison for eventual recognition of the All Is. The best and most effective way to recognize a reality that can't be considered or determined with the facilities of the creational self is by recognizing what it isn't. And the more experiences and objective viewpoints we collate, the more we have information by which to determine what the true reality is not, and a dawning recognition of the real universes of the Is follows. Earning one's way is achieved by sharing with others this true reality, the knowledge of its existence, and the means by which connection to it and the real self that resides there can be made, the connection being the New You song. To share in creation has us utilizing the cause and effect mechanics of it, and so we will also be experiencing taplines, and as we go about our daily lives, we do have to deal with the personal self. As bothersome as it is, and inevitably we will get taplined. The difference being, of course, as we move from being unconscious creators, self-convinced, and locked into our personal selves only, to connecting with our real selves, recognizing our real intent to supersede creation, and recognizing universal positioning with the All Is. These taplines will then no longer be an issue. We become aware and conscious of the nature of the simulator. We understand and deal with the effects we consciously create. And although we endeavour to not be churning out unnecessary personal self causes, we may still do so on occasion, but at least we recognise the effects, are conscious of them, and seek to get a better handle on our idea-generating vehicles, we begin to stand more so in the new nowness, which is a position one can choose in creation now, a state of being isness, where one is connected to the real self and real awareness and being now, as opposed to projecting consideration into the future or the past. From this position, we effectively stand with the Is, which we are already, while having a simulated, created self in creation. This would be different than standing in the now in creation, as if we are operating from the view and awareness of the personal self only that resides in the simulator. The now is simply the current moment in cause and effect creation. Yes, we wouldn't be projecting into the future or considering past references, but we still are in the simulator, whereas the new nowness of the is allows that we have the connection to the true reality beyond the simulator, and to stand in this being-isness state, we are beyond the trappings of karma, or cause and effect, as cause and effect only exists in creation, and not this position of standing real with the ease. In essence, then, to stand in this being-isness state, we are in a little bubble in creation, but beyond the cause and effect that is its mechanic. We are still in creation, but we are no longer the effect of anything, including all of the rigid agreements that have bound us for lifetimes. We can say that from this decided position, karma, or cause and effect, is no more. Ideally, then, we would seek to perpetuate this state of being-isness as best as we are able, that we become constantly free from effects that we would generate if we were to step out of this bubble and back into the personal self and the simulator it is in. For this being-isness state is who we actually are. This is our real awareness, a real awareness that stands with the ease now. We just require the simulator to recognize what we already are through our process of awareness and earning this awareness while in creation. If we demonstrate our real intent, that want to be with the ease, we are demonstrating our sincerity. We are demonstrating our real selves. For the real self seeks nothing but to be. In essence, it simply is, and like the sun shining, would only wish to be a demonstration of itself. Anything other than this being-isness state would stem from the personal self, and any agenda, any side project, any other reason for wanting to become more aware other than achieving this state of being-isness we already are, must be the want of the personal self. As we go about our process of sharing, we will be dipping out of this being-isness state, for in order to share, we must create, we must decide on ideas and their implementation. Consequently, it will be an impossibility not to exact effects, the effect experience being the fruition of our created means of sharings. This utilizing of the cause and effect mechanics is not for the personal self any longer, therefore. It is what we would call beneficial and supporting of life, referencing the true reality and sharing the new you with others, that they too can begin their journey of recognizing who they actually are, free beings of real light. This would be then a sincere use of creation toward this end, toward the assumption of universal all-is positioning, and as such would be stemming from the real self, the real intent, to become the true being of light we already are. In regards to cause and effect karma, the standing in this being-isness state ensures we move beyond the necessity to experience it if we decide to do this. And when it comes to the effects generated through our sharings, the real guides will take care of this karma and work it off. They naturally will only do this for the individuals who demonstrate sincerity of real purpose, who recognize their real intent. An individual who, by the process of endeavoring to be with the ears, will still be creating a cause and effect, not just through the sharings, but through everyday personal life, as we will all have to deal with the personal self, as long as we have one to deal with. Those who frivolously churn out unnecessary effects, especially personal wants and desires that are easily avoidable, will find they must deal with these themselves until they decide to get a little focus. As the process of awareness continues, we have moved from being the unconscious effects of our unawareness to the conscious effect through our recognition and understanding of the nature of the simulator. But ideally, we ought not be content to remain there, although nothing is negated and we are at liberty to create what we want. We have the free will to be the effect of whatever we choose. But if we really wish to recognize our standing with the ears, then we ought push on and far better get control over our experience forging vehicle mechanics, to the point that we no longer are generating experience unnecessarily, just that which is unavoidable from a personal self-perspective and necessary from a sharing and earning the way perspective, then we need not concern ourselves with our taplines, as the real guides will deal with these, and they and the new you song will be instrumental in removing all the old agreements and attachments that have been locked into our created consciousness since we entered the simulator. For yes, this is how we sever these old agreements. For without the connection to the ears, the new you song, and the real guide's assistance, it would be an impossibility. Even if the personal self recognized the process of creation, its cause and effect component, and determined all the millions of agreements it had latched onto and decided upon throughout its millions of lifetimes, it would still be bombarded with subliminal subconscious programming that seeks to maintain and enforce the agreements to ideas of control that have had the individual locked in creational drudgery for so many lifetimes. Effectively, then, the Kalam God rules the personal created self through all the systems, agreements, and means that maintain them. It would be an impossibility to extricate yourself from his clutches and the simulated matrix of control without the connection to the real universes, the new you song, provided by Dwayne the New Man and the real universal guides in accordance with life itself. But then it is only the created self the Kalam God controls, and he does not understand or have the awareness to recognize the real universes. He, like most, can't see beyond the created simulation or the created selves that reside within it. He, like most others, think the simulation is the real reality, and that the created individuals are the real people, and neither are, so he can have the creations if he wants. For despite having the connection to the real universes, of being on our process of recognition of this true reality and the beings of light we are, our real selves are still encased in the personal created self, as it goes about its business, sharing in the simulator, and it will be bombarded by effects much the same as any other unconscious individual. For yes, we are all experiencing this reality as it stands. For millions of lifetimes, we have had a hand in the agreement that has made it so. And despite now having the real connection and awareness, we still must deal with a world we helped to forge. It's quite apparent, though, that it is only through awareness that things in the simulator can change for the better. We are not here to save the world, and we can't, in fact, do so or save anyone unless they decide and agree to awareness that effectively allows their own salvation. If awareness allows the superseding of karma or cause and effect in creation, then if everybody chose to assume this being-isness state, agreement would be retracted from all the systems of the world that stem from ideas of control and destruction, as is the overall demonstrable experience being collectively shared the world over, so the simulation could well be improved. In its conditions, the deterioration of the very simulator is due to the overall effect of restricting, controlling ideas agreed with. Then again, the purpose of the simulator is to recognize the real universes and not to make a delightful, cozy spot in a created echo of the true reality. For this is what we have done for millions of lifetimes. And as things stand, it's becoming increasingly difficult to find a safe place in the creational simulator. Not that it ever was safe, as we agree to the potential always of being eliminated through our agreement to the power others have over us. Destroying what is the training ground is rather nonsensical, however, and if it is at all possible to improve circumstances within it without that objective being the primary focus, then it again makes sense. For what happens in creation must not claim our attention and focus. It's rather easy to become embroiled in situations that seem noble, saving the world, etc. And although far better than wanting to destroy it, especially from a cause and effect personal karma perspective, this notion can have us fall to the ideas, be the effect of them, that world saving or anything in creation for that matter represents. Everything in creation is a created idea, and agreement to any idea will culminate in the effect that must be experienced. An inadvertent agreement to ideas that are beneficial from a sharing of the is perspective or unavoidable on our process of awareness are not to be concerned about. But it's very easy to fall to any of the ideas of a dualistic nature, to take the stance of good or evil. This is one of the overlooked trappings of the Matrix, that in fact any idea, regardless of its nature, good or bad, if agreed with, will have us the effect of, and destined to remain then in the simulator. It's all about awareness, and anything we become convinced about, regardless of what it is, will have us decide a limited personal self-consideration that will ensure we remain in the simulator until we decide differently. We recognize that everything we consider about ourselves, from identity to personality to self-decided positions or noble stances, are considerations of the mind, of the personal created self. We become aware of the difference that is our personal selves in comparison then with our real selves. The real self is a state of being isness, like the sun shining. It considers nothing beyond the state of being that which it is. It just is. From the perspective, the view of the real self, it would view creation and everything occurring within it with a detached indifference, an objectivity. For indeed, creation and the created self is not what it is, and so, naturally, it would regard both with objectivity. It is something beyond or outside of itself. It's not a subjective situation. If we endeavour to adopt this same objectivity with the experiences we have, we learn better to perceive as the real self does. Perceive as the guides do. We learn to see how the is sees. Anything other than a state of being must be activated aspects of the personal self, and we can have a very demonstrable comparison as we switch our views from thinking and feeling to being in this being-isness state. We are fluctuating then between the personal created self and the real self in creation. A real self that would not create ideas and considerations in response to an experience, that wouldn't see an idea that represented evil and take the opposing idea, that of good. The real self wouldn't be caught in this dualistic nature of the simulation. It would remain in a state of objective indifference, and thus walk through the illusions of consciousness, and not be bound by them. Interestingly, when we do share with individuals, we must be able to enter their experience, or what we are sharing couldn't feature in it. This again, as everything, is determined by agreement. Nothing can feature in a person's experience unless agreed with or decided upon. Overall, human consciousness is wanting more, to be and see more than it has restricted itself to for thousands of lifetimes. This collective want is in essence agreement that allows the possibility of being more to feature in the human experience, an agreement that allows the presence of the new presentation, Dwayne and the sharings of the real guides. Even though every individual has a real self, and the real intent is to reconnect with and recognize this real state of being, individuals by and large are unconscious and have long forgotten this, and generally are very much locked into a personal created self they believe is who they are. The inherent want to be more is still present, if only subconsciously, and as the overall effect of restriction and control compounds and becomes more prevalent and invasive, as overall life in the simulator becomes harder, this inherent want becomes more apparent. Most individuals have great unease that things are not as they are marketed to be. As the ramping up of restriction, control, and diminishing living conditions become impossible to ignore. A controlled situation reaching such an extreme serves as a great potential wake-up for all individuals caught in this controlled matrix, and the wake-up and want to be more expresses itself as an overall effect where the is can feature in this particular simulation and have the representatives on hand to present it. Although much will be done to convolute this potential mass wake-up, particularly to offset the opportunity to become more aware, the controllers are less concerned about people waking up to the knowledge of the control system and its many facets than they are of learning how to extricate themselves from their controlled matrix, as knowledge alone will not allow an individual to escape from the simulator. They will still be, as they always have been, taplined, controlled through agreement unconsciously and subliminally, except they will have knowledge of perhaps the reptilians, the vaccinations, the cull of the human population agenda, etc. And in fact, they are then likely to emotionally react even more to such information, which further compounds the taplines that bind them for further unconscious lifetimes. They will possibly take a stand also against the tyranny and fall into the effect that agreement to these dualistic ideas of good and evil will result in. As the world is very heavily monitored and surveilled, the controllers will also know of those who are waking up to this knowledge, and even though the knowledge won't save them from the simulator, they may still be eliminated by the dark forces. The masses will be in agreement to the systems of control they may oppose. They will agree to the ideas of control, and control that individuals whose ideas these are have over them, resulting in the potentiality of being eliminated, an agreement to this possibility through agreement to the power these individuals present themselves as having over them, a controlled experience of restriction that can only be if agreed with. And so, to oppose something that was created, maintained, and perpetuated through agreement, despite the deceptive means agreement was garnered, is nonsensical. Walking around creation is the real solution. Dealing with what we have had a hand in creating through agreement, but not maintaining agreement to it, deciding a new position with our real awareness. For the unaware, many will express their wake-up by opposing a system they helped to build, and this will be their focus. A personal focus naturally, as the real self seeks only to recognize itself and simply be. Beneath all these personal self-considerations and emotional reactions to the knowledge of an increasingly apparent control grid will be everyone's actual, real intent to recognise the true reality. The majority will then not recognise the solution, that is, the opportunity of real awareness as it is presented to them, and will dismiss and discard it just as readily. Although the presentation of the ears can only feature in this simulator through agreement, and the opportunity to directly feature in an individual's lives requires far more refined and specific agreement on behalf of each individual. The real guides will approach individuals primarily on the real side, for the real self of the individual decides when it is time to begin the process to recognise itself. But it's the personal created self that it is encased in that must take the initial step. The real guides first deal with the real self on the real side, and then it must filter through to the personal self on the physical life level. Opportunity will then avail itself, an experience where the is makes itself known in the personal lives of the individual whose real self has decided to begin this process. An overheard conversation, a chance meeting, happening upon a YouTube video regarding the new presentation, bumping into one of the new friends, etc. The opportunity will be there. It may be subtle or apparent. It might require a degree of recognition that can easily be overlooked by the individual. The opportunity might be realised, grasped, embraced, then at some stage abandoned. It is all dependent upon the personal self. At a certain point on the journey and process of awareness, connection to the real self is stronger, and greater awareness becomes so, that turning back and returning to the personal self and created life becomes more and more unlikely. Yet there are still instances and examples where people practically at the gates of the real universes have walked away. The initial connection with the ears, the first step, can only be so if the information, the references to the ears are available, that potentially they can feature in the individual's experience once agreement is established with the real self to the assistance of the real guides. There is understandably quite a gulf between the awareness of the individual preparing to make this first step and the individual presenting the ears and the new you, in whatever form that will take, personally or through another platform of sharing, such as YouTube, etc. I would suggest that agreement is also made on some dimensional, real side level between the presenter and the recipient, particularly if the interaction occurs physically, a chance encounter, etc. You can't feature in anyone's experience unless you align yourself with the particulars of that individual's created situation that allows you to be present. The stars must align, in a sense. As an example, if you're a ballroom dancer, you're not very likely to be present in the life of a boxer, unless that which you cause affects an experience that is aligned with the experiences the boxer generally will be creating. If you were adamant in featuring in that boxer's life, you would have to adjust your causes to align with the individual that the effect, the experience aligns, and an experience can be shared. We may inadvertently do this with friends and family members who perhaps are not interested in becoming more aware, but we may still have emotional attachment that dictates our want to have them feature in our experience. We would then seek to align ourselves in such a way that experience can be shared. In essence, we would diminish our awareness to a degree. If we did not, that which we were affecting would be at such odds with theirs that the effect, the experience, would not be at all the same as theirs. And we could not come into conjunction with them. This is why, as we go about our process of becoming more aware, those that fall behind, or those that have no interest in becoming more aware, we must leave behind. For to remain with them would have us aligning with their experience. We would have to match our cause-creational ideas with theirs, and if they are operating predominantly from the personal self, then these restricting decisions will become ours also, and we restrict our own progress. To do so would not help them in any form, and all that is the result is the diminishing, limiting, or even abandoning of our journey. That we can retain experience with friends and family who are deciding something different, something of a personal, creational nature only. We can see that this same situation may be so, as it pertains to our sharing, particularly our seemingly chance encounters. Although nothing is by chance, everything is cause and effect, decision and agreement. The real purpose is to share and afford the opportunity for others. This is how we earn our awareness, how we earn our way. But to feature in the experience of another individual who, as all will be, when first approaching something presented about the all is, will be very much locked into the personal self, very much locked into creation, the curiosity spurred on by the real self of that individual. To feature in the experience of this unaware, personal self, individual, an agreement, a decision, must be made to exact a similar method of aligning as mentioned. A gulf between the awareness of individuals would need to be diminished, and it would fall upon the aware is sharing individual to do so. Unlike the family members who perhaps have no interest in the all is, the personal self of the individual here will at least be initially interested, so will be extending beyond the personal self to a degree, as much as they are able, as the personal self will not recognize anything of a value with something that only the real self can see. So to make the initial step is a demonstration of awareness beyond the personal self. Even if it is marginal at first, it must still demonstrate first contact with the individual's real self and their real awareness. Nevertheless, a temporary diminishing is required. A momentary alignment with a created individual and the individual's circumstances. An agreement with the same ideas that allows a shared effect, the shared experience of being in each other's presence. Where I am going with this is that the sharing is a part of earning one's way, and everyone is a free being of real light, and between individuals there is no difference but awareness and recognition of this state. But this sharing does open opportunities for attacks by the dark forces, and the reason these windows can be so must be due to stepping out of the being isness state, the position where automatic protection is afforded. For if we stand in this state of being in creation, we are beyond cause and effect. We cannot therefore be the recipient of anything, attacks included, because we are not exacting any cause and effect that can have us experience such. But to share has us not only stepping into creation in order to utilize the cause and effect nature of it to present what we do, but that we may find that direct interaction with individuals we are attempting to assist has us aligning with them, that we can feature in their experience to allow for our sharing. What they are, their created consciousness and their circumstances, is the culmination, the overall effect of what they are deciding and have decided and agreed upon. And so for us to feature in their effect, in their experience, we must align with the same causes that make them who they are and where they stand in creation. Albeit temporarily, the time required for our sharing, but we still are temporarily deciding to step from our awareness state to facilitate a merging of experience that can only be so if we momentarily agree with the ideas that the individual we wish to share with comprises of, or at least enough of them that we can be a part of their experience. Probably achieved by a real self temporary agreement alignment to facilitate the shared experience that our personal selves would be unable to exact, or indeed know not how to achieve. The real self is and knows everything, and with our connection to it, and increasingly, if we let life show us what is real now, and the real self takes the reins of our process, we will progress more effectively by keeping the personal self at bay and not allowing its interjection into matters it is less equipped to deal with, especially matters as they pertain to situations it has no references for, situations that involve the real side, with an awareness that is required to execute such matters that the personal self has no references for and could deal with itself. As mentioned earlier, all individuals in creation will, as a standard foundation, be agreeing with the control and power others whose ideas of control manifest through the systems of the world have over them, agreeing that such controllers can do what they wish, to those acquiescing. Potentially and experientially then, those controlled have agreed that at any time they can be intimidated, attacked and eliminated. It's possible then that as the aware sharer of the new you temporarily aligns with the created consciousness of the individual to feature in their experience, they temporarily take on this very notion of potentially being the recipient of attack and elimination by the dark forces that this individual harbours in their agreement database of their personal selves. And it is this that may be what allows windows of attack opportunity to be so, and as every new friend can testify, they all have had experiences where they have received physical or real side attacks as they have been on their process of awareness, as they have continued to share, to align themselves with others, to afford them this sharing and opportunity. So have they opened up these windows where potentially they can experience an attack, be the effect of a temporarily assumed agreement to the potentiality of attack that all unaware, unconscious, creational dwelling individuals have agreed to as part of their created consciousness. Of course, once we have shared, we tend to revert back to our various states of awareness and no longer are subject to the same causes as the vast majority who are unaware and still are locked into decided upon agreements to control and elimination by those that control them. Were we to step into a complete being-isness state, then we would be beyond experiencing any effect we had set in motion. This state of awareness and being-isness would be protection unto itself. But always we will be dipping in and out of creation for the personal self and the various reasons we must deal with it. And as we continually share also, and so consequently, there's little chance of avoiding these attacks, as the dark forces always are watching and wait for their opportunity. But the real guides always are on hand also, and the guides, coupled with our real awareness, an awareness that allows us to handle ourselves far better than the personal self ever might, has us in relatively safe hands. But as we can see, creation is made perhaps safer through our awareness, an automatic protection, but nothing in the simulator is absolute, and that includes our safety. There are no guarantees in creation, and this again is why such a journey is for the risk takers. For to be on this journey is to risk to see and be more than you ever have before, to let go of all that has been decided and agreed upon, to supersede the simulator and the creation that is the personal self. And yes, that might even mean the created self is destroyed or eliminated, but the real awareness remains and is untouchable by anything in creation, no matter how powerful they believe they are, or how powerful they have convinced the personal self they may be. And that brings me to the conclusion of the new UK radio show. I hope you found it interesting and awareness provoking, and so I will finish with the new you song. New